Ladies and gentlemen, on this episode of NSFW Show, we're joined by amazing pioneer and author Scott Sigler. We go through a choose-your-own-adventure with a bunch of colorful animal characters and then actually put together the structure of a short story that will be written by Scott. It's all coming up on this edition of the NSFW Show. Hey, mister, what are you doing? You might as well watch. I know you like that.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for NSFW is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is NSFW episode 110, recorded on January 17th, 2012. Dog saves doll, revered as hero.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 30% off your new account for 3 months, go to Squarespace.com, use offer code NSFW1. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, a TV instantly, or stream directly to you. Saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to netflix.com/twit.
What y'all want to know about Twit? Yo! Motherfucker! Yo! What y'all want to know about Twit? We got some bad news! It's like air. It's like neutrinos. It's all over the place. I do need to get up on some like Tom Merritt talks about. Yo, that news today coming all up in this or in the train on your brain with technology. Open sourcing the Bob Brio West, mother. That shit is free in your pocket. What y'all mother know about Twitch? We got some patent work.
That means it is go time for NSFW, the new show full of wind, the new sauce for the Webernets, the show that is nominally safe for work. I'm your host, Brian Brushwood, joined as always by the inimitable co-host, part man, part machine, all Robotron 8000. It's none other than your professor, Justin Robert Young. What is going on, Professor J.R.Y.?
Oh, Brian, listen, there's really nothing that I can say beyond what your mother lovers know about our next guest. He is a bunch of books. He's a legend of podcasting. Man, I'll tell you what. If you don't know everything there is to know about Scott Sigler, then let me introduce you to the man himself, Scott Sigler.
Woo! I'm taking you on tour, dude. Next book tour, you're coming with.
It's not going to be Twit Hype Man. It's going to be Sigler Hype Man. I love it.
I'm the fat man scoop of tech.
on some of these book tours, it's a little bit like, you know, the bookstore owners will introduce you, and it's great, but it's a little NPR-ish, you know?
Yeah.
A little like, and now we have Mr. Sigler, who writes.
I'm already in love with this idea. Like I want Justin to physically muscle them out of the way, where it's just like, ladies and gentlemen, it's a great honor to have science fiction legend, author of the Galactic Football Series.
See, no, and then I kick through the wall like it's an 80s music video. Yeah.
Like you're the Kool-Aid man. The Kool-Aid man busts out and you got a towel.
Yo, get off the stage and throw a stack of fives. Let me give y'all the real knowledge on this.
No, seriously, why don't you, all Twit hype man aside, tell us real quick about what should every red-blooded American know about the fine, talented Scott Sigler? Scott, all due respect, you're not the expert here on Scott Sigler.
Yes. Okay.
Justin Robert, the Sigler hype man, we're going to leave it to him.
Yeah, if you are looking for a pioneer in the field of e-books, which is blowing up right now, you really have to look no further than Scott. He's a fantastic science fiction writer. If you enjoy the work of Michael Crichton and really awesome hard sci-fi good stuff, then you're going to enjoy what you read there. And the podcasting stuff was groundbreaking when he did it, and continues to be amazing and awesome and compelling. And I'm so excited that he could actually be on a show, because folks know he was on our Dragon Con episode and absolutely murdered it in our Dragon Con dream date.
Absolutely, dude. Thank you so much for joining us. Look, it's not often that we get a master storyteller on our little podcast, so we thought we would make the most of it. And we got two exercises we'd like to run through. The first one is just sort of, cleanse our palate, make sure we're on the same wavelength. The second one, we'd actually like to write an award-winnable tale that will follow us for the rest of our days. You down for that?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Totally down for this.
Done.
I'm excited.
Done and done. All right, Justin, what do we do to set up our first bit?
Well, we're going to play a little game with a choose-your-own-adventure book. You're familiar with those?
Never heard of them.
Yes. Oh, totally. Totally. Actually, that's just what I use to write all my books. I just change a couple of things. And
So you take existing choose your own adventure, like let's say the haunted amusement park, and you're like, yes. Oh, okay. It's called Amusement Ghost.
That's why the opening paragraph of my book, Infected, was Tommy walked into the big dome stadium and tickled a donkey's privates. To keep this clean, I forgot.
All right, look.
I like to think that that's like a foreign choose-your-own-adventure book, where that's like a sign of good luck and a good harvest. Like that you have to like a good grandson, he went into the barn and tickled the family donkeys.
You know what? Actually, this is shockingly close to what our actual plan here is. Because what we want to do is we want to take the structure of an existing choose-your-own-adventure story and just flesh it out. Treat it like some healthy bones. Like, you got a house that's been half burned down, but the boards are still... I don't know anything about houses. But the point is...
you have a house, and basically what you do is you dig under the ground and you set up a pool, and then you build with stones on top of it until eventually, boom, house.
Yeah, and then you attach a steering wheel, or you drive it around the neighborhood, showing off to the other houses. Yeah, I mean, you and I are on the same page here.
You put on fins, a few balloons, and you're fine.
Yeah, get some hydraulics in that bitch.
Throw some D's on that bitch.
Yes. By the way, that cackling you guys are hearing behind us, I ought to go ahead and introduce. This is one of the few opportunities that we actually have a live studio audience. John Tilton, the Swagger, Vincent 404, all here in the audience. So if you hear them cackling, it's not me laughing at my own jokes with multiple voices. Because if I could, I would do that all the time.
God, well, that is the best idea for a ventriloquist with no self-esteem. If he just like is like, anyway, like, oh, I just flew in from Phoenix and boy are my arms tired.
He make an awful rapper with his own posse too,
His own hype man, yeah, totally. Yeah. Okay, here, I gotta fix one thing on the audio.
I would love
brightness.
Any rapper that had a ventriloquist dummy hype man.
Oh my god.
50 Cent just comes out and he's just like, Yo, I'm gonna get hyped.
Okay, look, here we have hired the finest production assistants in the entire nation to give us the beginnings of a story that we're going to truly make epic. Now, this is your journey, Scott, so let's be clear about that. Only all Justin and I can do is serve as your advisors to postulate what might happen as we move forward. And feel free to contribute and flesh out what's going on through your mind, because this is really the journey, not of what actually happens to Bone, but it's what happens in your mind, because we're going to rock A Dog's Life, the autobiography of a stray. Do we have any music? Should we have here, Justin?
Okay.
Do you want to read this? You want to start?
Yeah. Hold on. How about we just do?
That's we. Hold on. You realize that you didn't set up the soundboard correctly, because we clearly heard that over the speakers.
Nope. A different clip. At a lower fidelity.
Okay.
I wanted to see if you'd notice.
Okay, all right. Then, in that case,
Brushwood, high marks.
Then in that case, go ahead and start again. I didn't mean to interrupt. Let's do this properly.
It's Bone, the story of a stray, Brian. And we're gonna read through it. I think if you can bring it up there on the screen,
of course.
We'll go from there.
All right, here we go. So our tale begins. This is an intense tale. We gotta go ahead. Right.
You and your sister Squirrel have just been thrown out of a window of a car. Jesus! Before you know what's happening, a woman rushes over and scoops you up. She seems to want to take care of you, but you don't want to be separated from Squirrel. You try to wriggle from her arms, but she's holding you firmly. Soon you're in the back seat of her car, and she drives along the highway.
And we continue on.
After a short drive, the woman pulls up to the front of a nice-looking house. She opens the car door, and you see a chance to escape. You head for some nearby trees, running as fast as you can. Once you get into the safety of the woods behind the house, you slow down. Where do you go next?
All right, now I'm serious. Yeah, you could go in search of Squirrel, or you could stay in the woods. Now, I don't want you to take this lightly. This is, I need you to wrap your mind around.
I got two issues here. Number one, this dog's name is Bone. This dog is kind of cute and cuddly. I'm thinking this dog might be more like Harmony, you know? And we'll get one in the middle called Thugs. We need Bone. Bone's got to be like... Bone's got to have like some mange on the side of his face, you know? And like a scar here from when he got into it with a big old 40-pound alley cat. Bone should
I'll tell
be...
You what, Bone should I know, be, I know where this
Bone's
story
the
ends.
Enforcer.
Spoiler alert, Scott, at the crossroads.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And then if we're going to go after the squirrel, I want to go after Moose and Squirrel. I ain't letting those bitches get away this time.
Oh,
let's
man.
Take them both out.
So you're saying definitely go in search of Squirrel. You're going to retreat from the safety of the woods.
Brian, aren't we all in search of Squirrel?
We're all just Bones looking for a squirrel instead of squirrels looking
right.
for nuts. Got it. All right.
Hold on.
Before we go, what do you think would have happened if you go into the house with this lunatic woman who scooped up
Well, hold on. House isn't an option. You rent. Your only choices are going to squirrel or woods.
Okay, so it's
a good call, because I have it on authority that house is part of Saw 11. when they move the franchise over to try and piss off PETA a little bit.
No,
and
that's
there's
good.
A whole, you know, dog, you can get out if you chew off your own foot. Otherwise, you die. That kind of thing. We'll see how much the dog loves life.
So I think
the house was good.
Imagine if that's like one of those weird like rights things where they're like a studios or it's a big pitch meeting and they're like, okay, listen, this might sound a little weird, but we own the rights to Saw and Air Bud.
We don't have the budget to do them both separately.
No.
We're thinking synergy, a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
All right, so there we go. We're going in search of
Squirrel. I will write that script on spec. I'll tell you that right now. No question.
Awesome. Okay,
hold on. We are going to make a story that Scott's actually going to write as a short story later in the episode. But let's go ahead with this, Brian. Let's move ahead.
Okay. Oh my God. Somebody, John. Sorry. We've got some
special report.
This just in. I don't normally break in the middle of a bit, but I just received this extremely important text from John Tilton.
Is he sitting right next to you?
Yes, yes.
Blue Cheese Tilton sitting right next to
yes,
you?
Yes, but what he says is, the author of the book we're reading is on Twitter, and he provides a link. So man, maybe we could just say how great this story is.
Well, let's get a little through it. We don't want to get halfway through and be like, boo, this sucks, and then we all have to crap on her.
Okay, all right, fine. All right, so we're definitely going to go in search of squirrel, right? You were looking Bones looking for a squirrel. All right, here we go.
Ain't nothing but the dog in me. All right, here we go.
All right, let's hear it. And
you
go.
You try to head back to the direction of the mall parking lot, but soon you come across railroad tracks. However, you don't remember crossing any railroad tracks during your car ride. You think perhaps you've lost your way, so you decide to follow alongside the railroad tracks as far as you can before night falls.
And continuing on?
Eventually, you cross a vast field and you are tired of walking and extremely hungry. Where have the huge 18-wheelers parked at an odd angle in the field and around its perimeter, you hide behind one of the truck wheels and watch as dozens of people unload. Four men erect one blue and white striped canopy after another. As the afternoon wears on, many tents dot the field. Next, a group of workers hangs row after row of lights and brightly colored pennants that flap in the breeze.
Uh-oh.
You smell cows, sheep, and hay. You see the animals standing under a roof temporarily erected to provide some shade and run over to them.
Hey, what's going on there?
You ask a heifer.
The county fair, replies the cow. Last year, I went back to my barn with the first place ribbon. Tonight, there'll be thousands of humans here. You should stick around for the fun.
Oh, now we come to a crossroads, Scott. You can either stay at the fair or leave the fair. Now, keep in mind, if you leave the fair, it could be anything, right? You could be lost in the wild.
I'm not going back to the train tracks. Don't you want to have a good time? Yeah, I want to hang out with the crack dealing cow. I'm pretty sure we can score some meth off the sheep in this. Let's stay in the fair.
All right, so to you, it's like...
You know that the livestock at a carnival's junkies, too. There's no way that if you are on tour with a carnival that you haven't crushed up meth and fed it to an animal. That's actually
Did you see the cow's teeth? Green as get out, buddy. I'm telling you. That cow's
out. No, that's good. So now, keep in mind, everything you've described is horrific, and you're saying those are the reasons that you want to stay at the fair. Is that right?
Yeah, because train tracks, I grew up out in the deep, deep woods, and bad things happen on train tracks, so just stay at the fair.
Unlike the good things, like the meth at the fair. Right, yeah. Okay, all right, fair enough.
That's it. There's just, all I can imagine is like a cow with just bloodshot eyes begging for a chicken to tweak its udders. Like, it's just a mess.
My brain just short-circuited with all the horrific things one barnyard animal would offer another barnyard animal.
Hey, Clucker, come over here. Oh,
just a little with the beak. Just a little with the beak. That's all I want.
He's like,
don't
hey, man.
Such a prude. Jesus. It's not like I'm asking for $1 million.
He's like, look, man, I'm not a duck. I just like to watch. Come on, man. That's not weird. I'll give you a rock. All right. We're going to stay at the fair.
Yeah, stay at the fair.
Sorry, come on, man. Look, just stay still. I'll give you a paw job. Come on. It's worth it.
All right, let's continue.
All right, here we go. Stay at the fair. Here we go. And hit it.
You decide to stay at the fair and set off to wander around the fairgrounds. As you get close to a group of firefighters washing several ladder rigs, one of the firemen squirts you with a hose. You jump into the spray, desperate for a drink. The fireman fills a clean bucket with water and sets it down in front of you. After a long slurp, you dart around the fire trucks and scoot underneath one rig to escape a sudsy sponge playfully thrown in your direction.
And continuing on.
This is a kid's book?
Well, let's see.
He's getting a little erotic. Jesus.
Well, and keep in mind.
This plays like that Jessica Simpson eating a burger car wash commercial. Dude, I don't know. You got firemen hosing people down and scooting underneath the what? I don't know.
All right, no, Scott, look, I understand that it's easy to want to jump to, you know, being some kind of perverse sexual thing. Let's just read the words exactly as they're written, and I'm sure they're perfectly innocent. Justin?
Okay. After fooling around with the firefighters.
Okay, all right.
You're all tired out and find a quiet spot well behind the rides where you can get some sleep. Suddenly it's morning and the fair is bustling with activity. Nobody pays much attention to you, although you notice some people trailing behind dogs wearing collars attached to leashes. A boy about 11 pushes through the crowd, kneels next to you, and wraps his arm around your neck. You're so startled that you don't have time to resist.
Are you lost?
The boy says.
Come with me to the Ferris wheel.
All right, now keep in mind, you got two choices. You can climb out of the ride with the boy. That's a Ferris wheel, by the way. I don't know that it's safe for dogs to be on it. Or leave the boy and return to the relative group safety of the firefighters. Because let me tell you, if you go with the firefighters, you know what you're going to get. And you're going to get it repeatedly the rest of your life, along with three meals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, that I can tell by looking at that boy that he has been gradually starting with pulling the wings off of flies, moving up to wounded animals on the roadside. That kid has serial killer written all over him. I'm going back with the firefighters and their hoses and the whole washing bit.
Dude, and by the way, they're not even really firefighters. They rented that truck for the day, and they just like to go.
You probably couldn't see the audio listeners probably didn't see the quotation marks around hoses for that whole bit. So apparently,
all you know is that the way to get back there is you just follow the body rock.
All right, so we are definitely running back to the relative group safety of the gang.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
You decide to leave the boy and return to the firefighters. They recognize you from the day before and let you climb onto their truck. That night, you ride back to the fire station on the ladder rig. When you arrive back at the firehouse, a firefighter beginning a 24-hour shift pulls a heaping bowl of spaghetti and meatballs on the floor next to the table where the firefighters eat. You devour everything in that bowl. Suddenly, you hear a piercing alarm. The firefighters jump up from the table, don their gear, and rush to the ladder rig and speed off. You climb on the truck, too. As you pull in up to a fire hydrant, you see smoke and flames pouring out of a fourth floor window of an apartment building. A paramedic administers CPR to an elderly man who has collapsed on the street after running out of the building. You want to help, but you're not sure what to do.
Because, strangely, you don't know CPR. Because you're a freaking dog. okay, look.
Do you let a man die by not administering CPR?
Or do you give him the life's kiss with your awkwardly formed mouth on his? All right, you got two choices. You can stay by the paramedic side, or you can follow the firefighters into the building. Keep in mind, one's going to be awkward. You're just going to sit there looking at an old dude dying. The other one involves going into a burning building.
And also, let me just explain for the audio listeners that right now we are showing an illustration that is a firefighter very casually, like J. Crew style, just sitting on the the curb there while a house burns.
I don't like the looks of this guy. This reminds me of that time I was in detention in the third grade and there were some inappropriate suggestions. So I think this makes me feel funny where my bathing suit goes, so I'm going into the fire.
Okay, so you – all right, let me get this straight. You are in no immediate danger, but the sheer creepiness of the J. Crew model who's giving the life – making out with a possibly deceased old man creeps you out enough that you run into a burning building.
Yeah, all my doggy alarms are going off right now. I just want away from this guy as soon as humanly possible.
Hey, dog, don't worry about it. This is how we wake the man up.
Now take notes because I'm going to pretend to be dead later. All right, here we go.
You guys are making me uncomfortable.
All right, here we go.
All right, you decide to follow the firefighters into the building. You run up the stairs and feel as if you're traveling under the smoke, which makes it slightly easier to breathe. You begin to bark incessantly, finally clamming your jaws onto the edge of a firefighter's back black rubber coat. You tug him into the bedroom of the fourth floor apartment. Together, you find a small child crying.
Oh, what's funny is I'm clicking on the video image of it. Go ahead.
The firefighter carries the girl outside to safety. You carry her doll in your mouth and give it to her once you are all in the street. You guard the girl while the firefighters put out the flames and the apartment residents gather in the street. You're a hero! The firefighters want you to return with them to the firehouse.
All right, now here's the thing.
It is party time.
Yeah, so you can either join the firefighters on the truck or you don't want to be a fire dog. Now, you've kind of been down this road before already, Bone.
There's no choice C here?
No. I mean, unless you want to go completely off script and just full on. I mean, if anyone's authorized to do that, it's an author.
Well, I think I'm sticking with the firefighters. Yeah.
You are going to stick with it? All right.
Party rock 24/7 for Bone.
That's right. Man, I wish I could find that fast enough to play it. All right. Yes, you joined the firefighters in the truck and...
Oh, here we go. You had to scroll up there, right? You decide to return to the firehouse. As the firefighters are sitting down to rest, a reporter from a local newspaper shows up, and one of the firefighters is being interviewed. He reaches over, pats you, and says, "We could never have done it without this fellow here. He's going to be a valuable addition to our team." Hearing these proud words, your tail starts to wag. Yep, all in a day's work for the new fire dog who forgot his sister.
We hope you've enjoyed this evening's presentation of Bone the Dog. Playing Bone the Dog was Scott Sigler. The narrator was Justin Robert Young. I'm Brian Brushwood. You can enjoy other books such as this at scholastic.com/dogslive/bonetravels.htm. Funding for this was paid for by no one, because seriously, it's a choose-your-own-adventure story about a dog read by three pervs. Have a good evening.
Yeah, you want to get my bone to travel, you don't got to work too hard. It's me, Connie Cow.
I thought the fire truck and the firefighters were like a big part of a gay pride parade, which is always a good time. And then they actually put out some flyers. I'm shocked. It's a plot twist worthy of M. Night Shyamalan. I'm telling you, I did not see that coming at all.
Dude, absolutely, absolutely. Hey, man, I'm trying to dig up the sponsors for this episode. I don't even know who we have. We got two sponsors tonight. Who do we got, Justin?
We do. Ladies and gentlemen, Squarespace.
Never heard of them.
They're called Squarespace.
That's a silly name, and it probably is a stupid product that nobody will ever use.
Brian,
in fact,
I'm
going to preemptively say that I'm going to guess that Squarespace is a fast and easy way to get an incurable disease, maybe syphilis.
No. Take another guess.
Gonorrhea.
No. Another guess.
Mushroom warts on your genitals.
Mushroom warts. Like if you scrape them off, you'll hallucinate.
Yeah, well, actually, they're the good
dysentery.
Mushroom
warts. Brian, go with dysentery. Dysentery.
Dysentery. There you go. Cholera. How about that?
No, Brian and Scott. It's none of those things. You get no diseases on Squarespace. What you do get is super reliable hosting and a great looking website with little to no effort if you're not a CSS wizard. And if you do have a little bit of skills, oh boy, can it go a long way. Are we looking at Carney Cow?
I'm sorry.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Carney Cow from Squarespace.com. You know, when I get a few goat pebbles crushed up in my milk, I like to go and make myself a Squarespace website. Yeah, I go to Squarespace.com, and I make sure that I get the URL that I want fast and easy. It's super cheap, and the best thing about it is that the servers are load balanced, so they never go down, unlike me. NSFW1 is the code at checkout. You're going to get some free time. That's all you get for free with me. I'm the Connie Cow.
True story, by the way. True story. No, seriously, head on over to squarespace.com. Get yourself a free 2-week trial, and you can blow everyone's mind with the ribald adventures of Carney Cow. And is it Connie or Carney?
Carney.
Carney Cow. Yeah, yeah.
Carney
Cow.
Yeah, he lives in that broken down trailer with Carney Goat and also Carney Cat.
There's and Carney Phillips. That's the weird part. It's all those. You guys don't remember the one from Wilson Phillips.
Wilson Phillips. Yeah. Carney Cow's favorite Carney Cow's favorite.
You don't like that idea that you got Carney Cow, Carney Goat, and Carney Phillips?
Carney Wilson?
Yeah, oh, that's what I mean.
That was Wilson.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I just love this Carney idea. I'm sorry. All right, anyway, make sure to use promo code NSFW1 to check out.
You get 3 weeks or 3 months. What
20% off for 3 months, I believe, is the code.
There we go. 20% off. Folks, listen, I mean, you've heard us talk about Squarespace a million times on the show. We love them. They've been our best sponsor. They've been our consistent sponsor. When everyone abandons us because all we do is talk about meth-addicted farm animals, then they will be the only one who stays there. Yeah, they'll stay with us. And me, Connie Cow.
All right, look, can we actually do something constructive besides by the way, in all seriousness, seriously, if you guys dug that story, if you got kids and you want to do a story, they actually have a big collection of awesome stories. If you're into the Choose Your Own Adventure thing,
Can we actually blow up that lady's Twitter? What is that lady's Twitter?
Well, here's the problem is we spent the whole time, you know, kind of improvising on her story, and I don't know legally what the story on that is. So I'm going to encourage everyone to go to scholastic.com/dogslife/bonetravels.htm, and if you want to tweet her, tell her about how much your daughter or son enjoyed it. Just say, love your stories. There's that.
Are we not allowed to say it? Are we not allowed to read her entire story in totality?
We didn't read the totality. We only told one adventure of Scott Sigler.
We did. No, there's so many other versions of that.
Scott, will you speak for the authors of the world? Like, did we just do a major no-no, or is this all right?
No. It's fair use. You guys can read the book online. It shouldn't be a big problem. As long as you're not out there trying to sell it, I think you're pretty much covered.
No, plus, in fact, we highly promote everyone to go to scholastic.com/dogslife/bone.
Exactly. Any author to get the kind of exposure you guys bring to the show would be very grateful for it. But after Carney Cow, and we never did find out what happened to Rape Squirrel, it's out there somewhere.
So you're saying there's a whole genre of slash fic waiting to be written on this after the fact.
Revenge of Rape Squirrel, Part 4. That's a gosh darn good movie right there.
No,
oh my god! Imagine the Kill Bill-esque tale of like
they left her for dead.
Bone Dog is just sitting there like getting back scratches from all of the fireman team at the same time, like thinking everything life's great.
He's just in that bathhouse of a fire station, just getting all sorts of just a bunch of oiled up dudes like rubbing that dog's shoulders.
And then Bennett Squirrel's just like, "You son of a bitch."
I never forgot. I never forgot for a moment when you had me bent over that fire helmet. Now I'm coming back. Revenge.
Wow.
It's interesting the squirrel has that deep of a voice, but it's funny like that.
Well, I just realized it's only going to get worse from here.
This is the Don Bluth movie that was never made. This is the lost Don Bluth script.
Oh, my God. So, by the way, people are already registering MethCow on Twitter, right? Oh, look, methcow.squarespace.com is already made. And here we go. So there.
Oh, and he's lighting a rock.
Yes, he's lighting the.
Man, you guys are fast. Holy cow.
I'm scared of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Scott.
This would go moose to number one on my list of audiences not to piss off.
All right, look, let's do something constructive. Justin, we had another exercise that we were going to try, right?
Oh, my gosh. Scott is obviously an extremely talented author. And again, I cannot highly recommend enough all of Scott's books. Find them everywhere on the internet. Listen to the podcast. If you want to just try it before you buy it, hit up his podcast. He's reading the gosh darn things himself. And let me just tell you this. The podcast, like all the GFL podcasts, they're not just a dude saying stuff. He's got awesome, like ambient noise, and he really, you know, it's a high quality production. So go check those out. Now, we figured, why not completely co-opt your talent without really explaining what you're signing up for? So we're just jumping on the train. You're a bullet train to awesome, and we're just jumping on. Me, Brian, and Carney Cow. We're all just hopping on the trade, and we're trying to cash in here, based on your amazing and enviable talents.
All right, fair enough. I'm in.
All right. So, look, here's the thing. We think that there's a lot of potential in Chat Realm to kick together an award-winning show. Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but they wrote fan fiction about our show that ended up being, like, one of the top five literature podcasts on iTunes, right? So we figured there's gold in there somewhere, but we just got to tease it out. And as long as you commit to actually writing this story, I think we can make it work. Where do you want to start, Justin? We need what? We need characters?
Well, basically, all right, here's what we need. I figure here are the necessary elements. And Scott, we've done in the past is what we like to do is around the time that all the Oscar bait movies come out, me and Brian like to take all the titles and just make up our own plots. We take the titles and the actors and we make up what the movie's going to be and we see how close we are to the actual plots. So we figure we're going to do that from scratch here. So here's what we need. We need a title, we need at least two or three character names, and we need a conflict, a basic conflict for those characters. And then from there, Scott, you take it. We're leaving it in your hands. That's the ball, and you can run with it.
Now, wait a minute. Is Scott going to provide those, or are we going to go to Chat Realm for those?
Oh, Chat Realm.
No, we're coming up with them right now. Between Chat Realm and us, we're going to rock and roll with them right now.
All right, so what first then? Where do you want to start? Yeah, let's start with the hero's name.
Yes. Let's start with the hero's name. I'm going to pitch. All right, here's my hero's name.
All right.
I think the name's going to be Rabbi Joseph Manischewitz.
Rabbi?
Wait, what was that last? Rabbi Joseph what?
Manischewitz. Goldstein Silverberg.
Rabbi Joseph Manischewitz.
Manischewitz Goldstein Silverberg.
Okay, hold on.
Now, is this the same Rabbi Manischewitz who ran with the Dukes in Lower Brooklyn for a couple of years, maybe?
Yeah.
Is also known as the knockout Jew.
Right? All right, now, hold on.
Knockout Jew.
Right, now, I'll tell you what, though. He's got like, and in fact, he himself is not so big and imposing. He's a rather diminutive character. The people are afraid of his sidekick, Brock Sockman. And his Brock Sockman is the heavy in the whole thing.
Okay. Okay. So Brock Sockman and Rabbi J.B. Real? Was that it? No.
Let's just go with Rabbi Joseph Manischewitz, who, by the way, Neshcom in the chat room points out, it's because he'll knock you out.
You'll be seeing stars, I tell you, stars.
Oi. Okay, so we got the main character. We got his sidekick, the heavy. So we got to have, what's the third in a triumvirate like this when you got heroes running together?
I guess we need a lady.
Yeah, of course.
You got to have your girl. You gotta have your guy, whichever way Rabbi rolls is fine with me.
Some of the names coming in are Muffy, Squirrel, Carney Cow, Space Hitler.
You guys want Carney Cow in this? Because I can make that happen.
You know what? Actually, I would love it if behind her back they call her Carney Cow, but they would never say it to her face.
Oh, okay.
Like her name is Carney though. I like that.
Carney, last name blank. Now, okay, got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no.
I think her name is Carney Powers.
Carney Powers? Like she's got actual Carney powers. No, like she can make her hands.
It's just unfortunate.
She can make her hands filthy instantly.
She sounds like the fourth Charlie's Angel. Let's be honest. She really
Carney
does.
Powers. No, she does. It sounds like one of the angels like asked for too much money, and they're like, "Oh, well, that one's out. New angel, Carney Powers debuts right after the Hulk."
People are saying maybe her name, Tensor Guy suggests that her name be Connie Con Carney. Latin flavor.
I know Carney. She's the one who runs that lunch truck down, down on Sepulveda Boulevard, right? Yeah.
I like that. Connie Con Carney. That's not bad.
Yep.
T2T2 suggesting Carney Powers in the house tonight.
Carney Von Stupp. I like that one.
Oh my God!
All right, so here we go. We have Rabbi Joseph Manischewitz. What was your character, Brian?
Brock Sockman.
Brock Sockman, who's the muscle.
Yeah.
And we have Carney Powers, who is called Carney the Cow behind your back.
Connie Con Carney.
Maybe she's a little thicker.
maybe.
Yeah.
And she and Brock Sockman can't get along at all.
I don't think it's an attribution to her physical size. I think it's more to this unfortunate phlegm habit that Carney has.
Oh, like, they accuse her of chewing her cud.
So she's like, chewing cud.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, I don't give a crap how hot you are. If people think you're chewing your cud and you're making this noise all the time.
Oh, yeah, but the problem is you wouldn't actually chew your phlegm. You'd spit it out. Maybe she can have like a snuff habit or something, or dip. Maybe she can dip and all.
Oh, she's dipping. Yeah,
maybe she's a super sexy hayseed. And they call her Carney Cow, right? Because she's from the South and always dipping.
All right, well, where does this story take place? I think we need a setting here.
Now, keep in mind, obviously, Scott's a talented science fiction author. So keep in mind, the world is your – the universe is your oyster. The multi-dimensions of the multiverse are your oyster.
All of the levels of reality, both known and imagined, fair game.
That's good.
Okay.
A lot of people –
that being said, Mobile, Alabama.
That did come on. It was there.
No, Hoboken. I think some.
Hoboken. I love. I used to live in Hoboken.
So you're not down with Rape Squirrel Land or or Petaluma on Bone Earth or Walmart.
Dude, Walmart.
No, Hoboken. Hoboken's great. I know the characters.
So Hoboken.
I know where the Path Station is.
It can't be Space Hoboken or New.
All right. Here we go. We're gonna go with It's the space station New Hoboken.
Yes.
Okay. And the whole story will take place in the Walmart on the space station New Hoboken.
Yes. Awesome.
All right. Well, if it's a Walmart, I'm thinking like maybe we're looking at like a Murder on the Orient Express style mystery inside the Walmart on space station New Hoboken. Like it's all contained in this, like nobody can leave. The authorities lock up.
My favorite thing, everybody. My absolute favorite thing watching the chat room is how people are slowly getting seduced by this story. They're like, this actually sounds awesome.
It could be, you know what it'll be like when Stephen King just was like, you know what, I like small towns, but I don't want to establish it. Let's just drop a dome on that bitch. We'll just drop a dome on the whole thing. No one goes in, no one goes out. I don't have to waste 100 pages of exposition. It's an effing dome. So it could be something like that. Something happens, and Murder on the Orient Express, everybody's trapped in the Nuvo Hoboken Space Station Walmart shop.
Yes. Okay, so we definitely wanted to do a murder mystery then, to be solved by Rabbi Joseph Manischewitz.
And his assistant, Brock Sockman.
Brock Sockman. And, of course, the
forbidden will they or won't they love interest, Carney Cow.
Carney Cow. All right, so what's the mystery?
It will be awesome if we actually make it to Space Station New Hoboken and people are still chewing dip.
But maybe it's like space dip, where it's just like it cures glaucoma or something, where it's just like you have to in order to keep your eyesight.
No, she's got to be trashy. I like her as trashy.
All right. So what about?
Right, we're gonna up level. We're gonna my business partners in the chat room. We're gonna up level this one more. We're gonna write this story. You guys get to we'll bring it back on the show, and then we'll put it. We're working on a new ebook collection in our color series. This one's called Bones Are White. We'll put this story in Bones Are White.
Oh my God!
So amongst your other actual short stories.
Yeah, amongst other actual short stories that I've slaved and sweated over all my life, various iterations, draft and redraft and edit and redraft, and then Carney Cow from the Walmart Hoboken.
I'm glad that this is working out for you. But we got to have what the mystery is.
And we need a title.
I don't know.
Well, let's let the title guide the mystery. So I think we need to open up our...
Open it up to titles.
Brain. Yeah, open up to titles. Let's see some serious titles. All right. No, we're not going to call it Clean Up on Aisle Jew.
No. Nor are we going to call it Revenge of the Rape Squirrel Part 4.
Oh, geez, okay.
It's a Wonderful Life 3.
Although that does sound like a like the Grindhouse version on this. Like,
they thought they could kill his brother, but they didn't realize it was Clean Up on Aisle Jew.
People of Space Mart, Brock Travels, Murder Con Carney. That's pretty good. The Cross Aisles of Walmart,
I really like so far my take, what my favorite one.
Jew are the title. No, yes, no. The Jew in it. That's
absolutely
a little heavy-handed. Master
Wabbit says "Over the Moon," which makes it sound like a romantic comedy, which I like.
How about can we dip back into the Kmart days and just call it "Clean Up on Aisle 5"?
That's not bad. Although I do like the buttering and Hoboken Syzygy. I like that.
Hoboken, yes. I like that. I can work with that.
Oh my god. Beam Up on Aisle 5? What about that?
Oh, that's tough. That is so strong.
Beam Up on Aisle 5 is currently
Who did that? That was Bill Meeks,
who I believe probably met you at the live NSFW show. He was definitely there.
That's strong work, sir. That is some strong. You get the eyebrow of doom.
Right on. Congratulations, Bill Meeks. All right, so is that what Beam Up on Aisle 5? Is that what this is? Wait.
That's what you guys want.
Last chance. If this meth pipe could talk, what about that?
How about Carney's Black Hole?
We'll still have meth 500 years from now, for sure. Yeah.
We'll have better meth. You kidding? Meth now.
We'll have Beth. It's better meth.
I think Bryan Cranston's going to go immortal, and we'll still have some solid blue meth coming in 500 years.
And this is like for reals. Do you know that, like, fashionably, they're actually making blue meth to sell, like, locally? A bunch of people are. It's amazing.
Power of a brand, my friend.
I love people.
Wait, hold on. Holy crap! I've just been handed this. Fear and Loathing and New Hoboken. That's not bad. I got to beam up on aisle 5 is where I'm feeling it.
I feel tough. Like we need the conflict in the title.
All right, so the conflict in the title
what about the
shoplifting?
The subtitle could be like Beam Up on Aisle 5, a super shocking super center supernova.
All right. Well, here's the thing. Is obviously we've laid a very silly pieces. Right. I feel like we need a very deadly, serious crime in the center of it that all these crazy characters can kind of orbit around.
Okay, so it needs to just
be a straight up murder or rape murder.
What if
a food product goes bad and they have to go hazmat level 5 on the whole Walmart and seal that bitch up?
Oh, no, that's good because they should point out, like, the mystery should be, like, in the future, food doesn't go bad. They've got safety controls and all that stuff. So somebody had to maybe use, like, a time aging device to unfairly, you know, make it go 6 weeks past its due date or something.
It could be some kind of sabotage, or they managed to actually kill someone with their favorite food product.
Hold on. Carl has a suggestion.
Carney's brother, obviously. Yeah.
Carl suggests that food doesn't go bad. It goes evil. Just throwing that out there.
I like the idea that there's a panic over food, like, decaying in some way, and that maybe they find it out because our bodies have evolved to the point where, like, literally any element of food not being 100% fresh could, like, kill us instantly. It's not food poisoning. It's like Ebola.
I would like to point out that my Twitter is blowing up with not one but two Ira Sockmans disavowing Brock Sockman, and also Carney Cow saying that I'll hop anywhere with you for a price.
Hey, mister, it's me, Carney Cow.
Hey. Have you guys seen those gigantic Reese's peanut butter cups that are, like, as big as your whole head?
No, but it's like you just described the Seven Cities of Gold. This exists?
Oh, dude, they're, like, 2 pounds each. Like, the bag is, like, this big. I got a picture on my blog somewhere. They're gigantic, but one of those could go bad because they're out to kill you anyways. I'll find the picture and paste it in the chat room.
Oh, man.
Okay, we'll get that picture. They're bigger than your head. They're really good.
What if one of those was so dense it collapsed in on itself and became a small black hole that, like, ate up 4 or 5 patrons?
Okay, all right, here. I think I got it, right? So, you know how, like, there's, like, all those dirty mother effers that go to grocery stores and they just, like, kind of pick off a couple grapes? Just eat them,
okay,
right?
Go on.
Someone does that, but because for some reason there's, like, contaminated grapes here, which is a little bit contaminated, our bodies in New Hoboken can't handle it, and they just like liquefy. Their body just like empties out through his bum.
No, wait. Wow, that's dead. A very visual image you just gave us. Wait, they eat something, and because they ate it, their body liquefies? Like it's meant to be
because
for
we're
aliens?
Not used to. We've evolved for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. Of
now, why would this item be available in a space Walmart?
Hence the mystery. They got to lock it down, man. And they got to find out who put that there. And they know that the last person to deliver the grapes is still in the store. They lock down the compound, and now it's a mystery.
And so now, so the subtitle becomes The Grape Escape. Is that what you're saying?
And wait a minute, Brian, the guy who was the dirty dude who picked up the grape and ate it and died is the president of New Hope.
How about this? We go with the grapes, and instead of the grapes of wrath, we call it, the subtitle is The Grapes of Khan. How about that?
Yes!
the Grapes of the Wrath of Khan.
Grapes of the Wrath of Khan.
And that's it. It's President Khan that died.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, we can still, I mean, in our future, they might have exactly the same past that, like, this future arises from all of our culture right now, so they may actually have access to the old downloads of Star Trek. So someone could work this into the Grapes of the Wrath of Khan.
All right, so we're definitely going
exactly,
with grapes.
No, his name is John Khan, and he got elected because he was a populist candidate, and all of his supporters would just yell, Khan! in jubilation.
So real quick, just so we're on the same page, we're definitely going with grapes that are evil and not an awesomely gigantic peanut butter cup like we see right here.
Well, because people don't just randomly pick up 4-pound peanut butter cups.
No, I just wanted to show off the fact that this is that's definitely Scott Sigler eating a giant.
That is in that peanut butter cup. That is half squirrel. So you guys want to know what happened to the squirrel? There it is, right there.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. So are we set? Do we have a premise? Do we have a direction? We have everything?
Yeah, we do. The question is, I'll write this as a short story, and then you guys want to read it out. Do you want me to do it as a script? I don't know. You could do something like read it live at Dragon Con or some crap like that, whatever.
Dude, well, okay. Well, first of all, you're already on the docket because, first of all, give us just a moment. Talk about the book that you're finishing up right now that's going to be released in a couple of months.
Okay, that is called Nocturnal, and that it is a kind of describing it as a buddy cop meets Monster Hunter type story. It's a race of race of humanity that's living under the streets of San Francisco that only comes out at night to feed on those that won't be missed. They call them won't bees. And they pick off bums, and they pick off runaways and things like that, and they drag them back down to do horrible things to them. Not as horrible as Mr. Squirrel, but pretty bad. And then our heroes, Brian Clauser and Pookie Chang, kind of get on the trail of this and start to track it down. So there's about 50... name drops to 80s buddy cop movies in there and 80s sci-fi movies. There's a lot of really fun stuff if you're a fan of 80s culture, and that'll be out April 3rd. And if you, it's pretty gory and pretty intense, and it's really a solid horror thriller with a lot of people. The publisher's trying to call it a paranormal tale, which is kind of strange because it's all based in science, but it's how do they describe it? I'm trying to remember. Kind of the hidden world inside of a city, and in this hidden world, instead of it all being ghosts and goblins and magic, there's some heavy scientific stuff going on that enables the crap to go down. And I can't give away too much. It's really difficult to promote the book because I don't want to give away any of the spoilers. But we'll have all that up at scottsigler.com/nocturnal in not too long, and people should pre-order it now. Just take all that rambling crap I said and just assume it was awesome. And then just go to Amazon.com and pre-order it.
You know what? With this audience, you could just say, weird enough coincidence, everything we just described for the short story is actually in the book. It's actually in Nocturnal. So go ahead and pre-order it right now.
No, I mean, folks, yeah, listen, you're not going to go wrong pre-order from Scott Sigler. And he's all, you know, super, super awesome. Go get it right now. If somebody can actually do me a favor and throw a really easy to remember bit.ly link in the chat room with the pre-order information.
Meanwhile, we do have breaking news. We actually have early production art of Brock Sockman, who apparently, I don't know if this is a weird alien he is, but it's like he's got, maybe they call him Sockman just because his face looks a little bit like a sock. I don't know.
Yes. By the way, Mr. Sim is in the chat room asking about the next GFL book, which we talked about, I think, a little bit before. we went on the air, but you are currently in the process of writing that one, right?
Correct. We're in the process of writing the next GFL book, and that's book four. It's planned as a 7-book series. We already have out, and these are all available as ebooks or on Amazon.com or at scottsigler.com/GFL. But we have The Rookie, The Starter, and The All-Pro are already out. The next book out will be The MVP. And what we do, it's kind of unique. We do a pre-order for these books every year, and that's where we get the capital in to print out really tricked out hardcovers, like hardcovers with great embossed covers, 16 color pages inside, and they're signed, numbered, limited edition books. So they're kind of collector's items. So we're able to do that. And then once we sell through that run, when they come out, we do full audiobook, tree book, and ebook all come out at the same time. But the pre-order for the MVP comes out, that is on February 4th, I think, which is Super Bowl Saturday. So the day before Super Bowl Sunday,
awesome.
ScottSigler.com will turn into this big pre-order festival. And we move like 1,500 copies in a day, which is insane because everybody's trying to get the lowest number. And it has become a really cool thing because the first book called The Rookie, we did 3,000 copy hardcover run, and that's already sold out. So you can't get the hardcover anymore. So if you like the series, it's best just to grab one of the pre-order, but go get The Rookie for $5 at Amazon.com and the ebook and check it out.
Yeah, we just set up, some of the folks in the chat room set up Amazon, that's AMZN.2/NSFW Sigler, that's NSFW SIGLER. Look, we only have a little bit more of housekeeping to do and then we got to wrap things up, but first, we got to thank the people who make this show possible, Justin. Is there anybody crazy enough, stupid enough to actually give us a dime for this horse apple shenanigan?
Netflix.
What?
You want to know what? Everybody's was all crazy about Netflix earlier.
Never heard of it. I look forward to Netflix, you say.
Yes, Netflix. If you don't have Netflix, seriously, they're Netflix, what are you doing? You might as well jump off a bridge. Like, it's the most ridiculous thing if you don't already have Netflix and you watch everything that you could possibly see on the planet, man. Everybody I know is all talking about that British show, Downton Abbey.
Jeez, that's amazing. Well.
And so I just look on Netflix and boom, there it is. If anybody is talking about anything on Twitter, they're watching on Netflix.
Dude.
Join the party, people.
Dude, screw your whatever it is you just said, because I wasn't listening, because you know what? I was daydreaming about how awesome Avatar The Last Airbender is, and the entire, all 56-something episodes, all 3 seasons, all available at netflix.com/twit, where you can sign up for 30 days. You can watch the whole series in 30 days.
Jesus, just one step above.
Can I tell you guys a funny Netflix story?
No, but go ahead, yes. Since you interrupted us.
So I was lucky enough to be on Triangulation with Tom and with Leo.
Never heard of it. I hear it's amazing.
With the silky, silky voice is like, and we're now going to go talk about one of our sponsors, Netflix. And he's going on about Netflix. And I decide that since I'm the guest, I'm going to be the little helper. And I pipe up with, yeah, I use Netflix all the time. And Leo just shoots me this look and he says, everybody does. And I was like, I'm like, oops. I was just trying to help. Okay, I'm back.
Like,
don't endorse over the host when the host is endorsing. That's the lesson I took away from that.
No.
But what you can do is stop the hosts to tell a story about how you accidentally over-endorsed to another host. But seriously, dude, Netflix is the greatest thing on earth. Go to netflix.com/twit, and we will all become billionaires. It is written in the third chapter of the GFL.
Seriously, Downton Abbey. Get that.
No way. Screw that. Dude, British Avatar people. The Last Airbender. It's way better.
Man, they're so British. They're like, oh, am I going to go British, that guy? I don't know. Quiet.
See, you're busy. You're like, oh, that's British. It's the Britishing. My cartoon is about freaking
or Sherlock. At each other. If you want to get ready or if you want to get context.
More British?
Certainly
what
not
is it with you?
Sherlock.
What are you going all Brito on me?
Dude, I love British things.
Once you go Brito, you're stuck in the sh**.
Oh, Jesus, Ryan. Why did you take the belt?
I'm sorry, I couldn't think of another rhyme.
It's a yes from me.
All right.
So there we go.
Wait a minute.
Whoa, wait a minute. Did you just try to win the belt by repeating my made-up curse word?
I forgot about the belt, I swear.
Double complete rainbow.
All right, well, I guess that goes to Scott Sinclair. Damn it. Netflix.com/twit. Look, the one thing we haven't done is we haven't, I don't know if it's a spoiler to name the villain now, because then you'll spend the whole time knowing he's a villain. Wait, how about this? Why don't we just name a really nasty person who may or may not turn out to be the one who did it? And people, somebody had some kind of derivation of Leo Laporte.
Well, it has to be the owner of the Walmart or the manager of the Walmart.
Yeah, who's the nasty ass?
He's the first one that you would
What
think.
About Rushwood?
Oh, no. What about Dale Poco very creatively says villain McVillain. Adolf Albert Hitler.
I have standards. I'm not going with villain McVillain. That's just crazy talk.
Leo DePort. Leonardo LaPortia. Jason Calacanis. Trollbot, Chad LaTilton. I love Chad LaTilton. Can we do Chad LaTilton, please?
Yes, we can do Chad LaTilton.
All right, Chad LaTilton. Awesome.
LaTiltons. I like the LaTiltons. They're a good family.
They are good. Well, they're well respected, but I think there's something
of the Connecticut LaTiltons.
Yes.
I think there's something nefarious lurking beneath that cheery LaTilton outer layer there. Look, first of all, I want to give a huge thanks to one Scott Sigler. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, man. Also, real quick, we do have to promote. Do we have some other project of interest, Justin Robert Young? Something going on?
Yes. No, we, Brian and Veronica and me have been, along with Chad, RIP Chad Johnson, and Dan, our producer, putting together a little project called Game On. It's on, Sundays on Twit, starts at, 9 o'clock Eastern time. And it's a show about video games. We had our debut episode. Thank you to everybody who watched. Do me a favor right now, chat realm. How about we assemble up, and if you haven't subscribed to the large video version of Game On, let's go ahead and bomb that right now. Get all up on that. Subscribe to it. It's funny, I think. I don't know.
But then again, you're the guy who wrote Max Trollbot, which...
I wrote a sketch. Scott, I wrote a sketch that I thought, and we all thought was just really, really,
we
really
all
funny.
Thought. It was so funny that, like, literally, we couldn't finish going through the dress rehearsal because we were laughing so hard. We had visions of retiring on Max Trollbot merchandise, and he didn't go over so hot. People didn't like the Max Trollbot.
Guys, maybe it's an acquired taste. You just got to keep doing it, and then they'll start to like it later.
Well, you know what? On paper, it would make sense that a racist, misogynist robot who interrupts and ruins the show would be hilarious. But, like, strangely, in practice, it didn't really work out that way.
Let me set up the idea we thought was brilliant, Scott. So we just start this brand new show that a bunch of people that obviously Brian and Veronica each carry their own separate fans and followers as this twit. So a bunch of disparate group of people that are just kind of loosely here because they like some element of the show. We start the show, and about 9 to 10 minutes in, just when Brian and Veronica are about to start talking – and discuss the topic that everybody's here to watch, we have a robot come out, start calling them names and interrupting them and using language that people would find offensive.
What do you think?
That's comedy gold. I would so watch that.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Scott, you are very good to me.
Hey, real quick, before we wrap things up, Scott, we already got the cover art for the book. The book cover is already in. It's Beam Up on Aisle 5 at the Walmart by Scott Sigler, where you've got Brock Sockman.
Jesus, are your fans like time travelers or something? This is ridiculous.
Dude, and I think that's a bell tower that was like a block away from my apartment in Hoboken.
I have no doubt that that's actually a piece of Hoboken in space, in New Hoboken in space. Oh my God, they are too freaking good. What else? What do we got? Anything else to promote just before we wrap things up?
No, folks. Oh, by the way, the live finale of FSL tonight, the ridiculous project that me and Tom Merritt have been doing about a fictional sports league where a bunch of people from various science fiction fantasy franchises play each other in an ill-defined sport. It all comes to a head, folks. The championship game, Mordor Crows versus the surprising Canton Janes. Is there going to be the upset of the century? I don't know. Find out tomorrow. We record it live on Brian's Justin TV.
BBLiveShow.com.
BBLiveShow.com. Andrew Mann, Brian Brush would join us. And aside from that, Justin R. Young on Twitter. I love you.
And it's Scott Sigler, right? Scott Sigler on Twitter.
Yep, that's right.
Done and done. All right, beautiful people. Love each of you guys. Do me a favor, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I want each and every one of you to go out, find a fire, throw yourself into it, and kill yourself. Good evening.
See you next Tuesday.
Goodbye.
You did Fred's thing. What?
Oh, wait, hold on.
Is the show over?
Wait, no, wait. This has Chad Littleton in it.
What?
It's John Tilton with Chad's hair.
What? Oh, my God.
My God, you're right. It's even better.
I'm not even kidding. You make a sexy chick. With Chad's hair.
Oh, my God.
Hey, mister.
Here's my hope is that for the next 2 years, at every book signing that you're at least one person goes, "Hey, mister. Hey, mister. Can you sign it?
Hey, mister. I really like the GFL
series. Please do a drop for me for the show. Can you just give me a drop at some point and send it over? Hey, mister.
Yes.
You're listening. This. <I can't.
laughs> Oh, my God.
All right. This is the first show I've actually cried at. This is the first show I've actually cried.
Oh, so much wind.
Oh, my God.
All right.